forward, and the relief we are seeking is the same. The board presumed in the first instance, without analysis, that the letters from the village committee were official records subject to the authentication requirements contained in 8 CFR 287.6. Consequently, we ask that the matter be remanded for further analysis and proper briefing in the first instance by the party before the board. The board's assertion that these documents are subject to the authentication requirement was erroneous. As this court in Georges noted, what constitutes an official record is something that has not been resolved, but generally, things such as unsworn statements of fact or letters are not official records. In this case, the board simply leaped over that initial question to hold Ms. Chen's documentation to the authentication requirement. The government, before this court, asserts that the issue has not been preserved before the board, but I believe this is a misconstruction of the procedural posture. Before the immigration court, the whether or not 287.6 is applicable was never raised. The judge did not exclude the documents or give them little weight for failure to authenticate pursuant to 287.6. The government did not raise the authenticity issue. In the extensive briefing that occurred before the board, the parties addressed the reasons the immigration judge gave the document limited weight, which did not include an authentication requirement. That issue was extensively briefed before the board, but the parties obviously did not address 287.6 because this was not a finding of the immigration judge. In essence, the government is asking that Ms. Chen speculate and guess as to every conceivable basis that the board could deny the case beyond which was already found before the immigration judge. I think this is a misconstruction of what the exhaustion requirement entails and the reason behind the exhaustion requirement. I think the inverse is more applicable in this instance, which is an appellate court should not resolve issues in the first instance without affording the parties the opportunity to address them. The board was denied that opportunity. The board was denied the benefit of briefing because the immigration judge did not reach this issue, and the board made the finding in the first instance. Under these circumstances, we believe it's appropriate, for the very least, given that it is a live issue as acknowledged by this court in Georges v. Ashcroft, to remand to the Board of Immigration Appeals for an analysis as to whether or not these are official records and therefore subject to the authentication requirement.
Okay, you want to stop there?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the rest of your time we'll get later. Okay. So we'll ask for Mr. O'Connell for the government.
Good morning, Your Honor. Joseph O'Connell on behalf of the respondent, Attorney General Eric Holder. Your Honor, this is a case where the agency in two very thorough and well-reasoned
decisions. No, it didn't, actually, because it misrepresented the 2007 country report.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, how did it misrepresent the country report? The country report stated that there
Well, because what it said was, the record reflects physical coercion, etc., is uncommon, unsanctioned, and the overall policy is much more heavily reliant on incentives. And then it says, State Department's 2007 profile indicates the central government policy in China prohibits the use of physical coercion to compel persons to submit to sterilization. Now, this is what the 2007 document actually says.
Yes, Your Honor.
According to the Fujian Provincial Birth Planning Committee, etc., there have been no cases of forced abortion or sterilization in Fujian in the last 10 years. It is impossible to confirm this claim, and in 2006, reportedly, there were forced sterilizations in Fujian. So they have not represented, the BIA has not represented accurately what is in this report.
Your Honor,
in addition, it has not considered the significance of these economic pressures. If you're forced to sterilize, to undergo sterilization because you can't pay a fine that's equal to twice your annual income, that's coercion.
It doesn't
have to be that they drag you to the clinic, right?
That's correct.
Now, where is that recognized in the BIA's report? even though we keep saying it in cases.
It was recognized in the immigration judge's decision when in the underlying appeal. The immigration judge actually did the analysis for the economic means, and the immigration judge recognized that Ms. Chen actually paid $46,000 to be smuggled into the United States in 1997. And actually, petitioner's counsel during the removal hearings conceded that the economic penalty would not be a problem for Ms. Chen. So in the immigration judge did, in fact, address the economic penalties in this case. The board didn't address it in their decision because that issue was not advanced to the board in the appeal.
Well, when you say economic penalty, you mean she can pay Fujian off so they don't?
That's what the immigration judge found.
And when you say not a problem, why? What is she rich?
She paid, again, she admitted during the removal proceedings.
I know. Now she's $46,000 shorter. Now, does she have another $46,000?
I have no idea, but it's her burden of proof. And again, the petitioner's counsel, Mr. Cox, not Mr. Bardavid, admitted during the removal proceedings that the Fujian fine would not be a problem for Ms. Chen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with regard to the authentication, the immigration judge did, in fact, address authentication in his decision. He said that Ms. Chen provided no context for the documents she submitted, the alleged notices from the Village Committee and the Fujian Family Planning Commission. And he didn't specifically address 287.6 in his decision, but he said, even assuming the documents are authentic, that they're afforded less evidentiary weight because there's no certification by any reliable source. And in the appeal to the board, Ms. Chen raised the authentication issue in one page, at page 146 of the record. And in that argument, it wasn't an argument, it was a string cite, they said that all Chinese documents should not be considered forgeries. Now, the board noted this, and they noted that the documents were, in fact, photocopies, and they were unauthenticated in any manner, not only by 1287.6, but in any manner whatsoever. And so the board properly afforded them less evidentiary weight. Now, the board sifted through 1,300 pages of documents and in a very thorough, in my opinion, a thorough decision, correctly concluded that Ms. Chen did not demonstrate a reasonable probability that she would, in fact, be forcibly sterilized if she returns to China. Unless there's any questions?
Well, doesn't the federal government have the ability to do some forensic examination of these documents?
The government has the ability, but the burden of proof here is on Ms. Chen to actually authenticate the documents, especially in the case where her father allegedly went.
Then they come forward with documents which they say are legitimate.
If they do come forward?
Yes.
If they do, then presumably, that'd be a burden of proof issue. I can't say for certain whether or not that would warrant asylum eligibility. That'd be for the board to decide, but presumably it would warrant eligibility. But again, that didn't happen here, and she didn't attempt to authenticate them in any manner whatsoever. And again, a lot of these authentication arguments, as we discussed in our brief.
How would she attempt to authenticate them?
She can. Well, her father went to the Fujian family planning officials, and pursuant to the regulation, she should attempt to authenticate them by a certification from the Chinese government, the issuing agency there, the Fujian province, and in addition to the Foreign Service in China.
So those kind of documents have been certified in your experience?
They have been in the past. Again, the court
when
in this case...
Fujian certifies a document saying they force people to be sterilized?
I may correct myself. I don't know, in fact, if Fujian does, in fact...
You're not
going to
get
that's what I want to know. Yeah, you say you need certification, and nobody can get certification. I mean, that's why I'm asking.
To be fair, yeah. Your Honor, I, like the court, only sees the denials of these asylum cases. I don't really see any of the cases where asylum is granted. So I don't know for sure whether or not Fujian actually certifies these documents. But there was no effort to certify the documents on behalf of the State Department or the Foreign Service in this case. So she didn't even attempt to authenticate these documents from the State Department, Foreign Service in Guangzhou. Even the State Department in the United States, there's no effort to authenticate them. And the immigration judge asked questions during the rule hearing, and they said, have you authenticated these documents? And petitioner's counsel at the time just simply stated this is quite difficult. That's all he said.
Well, has any circuit come up with a way of authenticating him without going through the sort of red tape that China requires?
The board has noted that there are other means of authenticating documents, and I think the case is matter of DR. In that case, the board accepted authentication of documents under the Federal Rules of Evidence, which is, I think, Federal Rule of Evidence 901. And in that rule, it said you could authenticate documents through the testimony of a, quote, witness with knowledge. And in that case, documents were authenticated by an expert witness, an Army expert. And, again, you can...
But not anybody from China, because they're not going
to... Not that I know. But, again, she could contact the State Department, or at least try to contact the State Department to see what they would say about these documents. But, again, no effort was made to do so. And because no effort was made, the board found that telling. So, I mean, the board looked at the totality of the evidence in this case, and they simply found that there was not enough evidence that Ms. Chen demonstrated a reasonable probability that she would be forcibly sterilized in Fujian province.
What did the BIA say about the fine issue?
The board did not address it because they did not advance that claim to the board.
You mean they abandoned it between the immigration court and the board?
Not before the immigration court. The immigration judge made the finding.
There's a long discussion of it. That's why I was curious why it wasn't mentioned by the BIA.
Again, the petitioner's counsel conceded during the removal proceedings it wasn't advanced to the board. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking without success, but wasn't there a remark by the immigration judge about her children being born in the United States?
I believe so, Your Honor. And again, the State Department report, the 2007 report, indicates that there is no requirement for her to register her children in the United States. And because she doesn't have to register her children in the United States, those children are not counted against the birth planning limit in China.
What do you mean registered in the United States? I don't understand.
I'm sorry, Your
Honor? What do you mean by registered in the United States?
They have a family planning household, so Chinese citizens are granted certain rights and privileges, such as free public education. But if you don't register, then parents will have to pay for private education, which they do in China.
So that's what she would do with her, too, if she goes back.
If she goes back, according to the State Department, if she goes back, she will have to pay for private education for her children.
She will have to do what?
Pay for the private education of her children.
Because she didn't officially register them in China.
Right, because they're not actually Chinese citizens. They're United States citizens.
Where are they? Where will they be permitted to live if they're not registered?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
That's sort of a catch-22, right?
You
can have them here, but you can't get them educated.
Well, she can pay for them to be educated by private schools, which several Chinese citizens
do. Do they have to be registered in China to be allowed to live anywhere?
No, Your Honor. The registration is simply for the public benefits.
So her two children that were born here that are U.S. citizens can't get any benefits in China.
They can't get public benefits.
Public benefits
for
the rest of their lives.
Correct, Your Honor. But again, they're U.S. citizens, so when they become of age, they can come back to the United States. Unless there's any more questions.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. O'Connell. Mr. Bardavid?
Yes, Your Honor.
So you abandoned the financial claim, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. That issue was abandoned to the extent of the fines themselves forcing her being unable to pay the fines would require her to be sterilized as because she didn't pay the fine. What she says on page 259 and 260 of the record is that while she would be able to pay the fines because she's been earning American dollars, she would still nevertheless be required to be sterilized, meaning that it's not an alternative, either be fined or be sterilized, but in fact, she believes the evidence indicates that she would have to do both, sterilize and be fined. With respect to the household registration issue, that issue...
Fined and sterilized, is that... Did I understand you to say that?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Can you do the bond?
And sterilized.
Okay, yes. Anything further? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, with respect to the household registration, specifically as we note in our brief and was raised to the board, Article 2 of the Household Registration Law specifically requires that, quote, every Chinese citizen must perform household registration in accordance with the page 120 of the record. So there is not a choice. It is not optional. Household registration is mandatory. And in order for the children to be registered, she must be sterilized. Finally, with respect to the...
Well, wait a second. Wait a second. That's very important.
Yeah, we stay close to the mic at your end, because we didn't hear that last argument you made. It was important. Start that again.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Article 2 of the Household Registration Law specifically mandates that, quote, every Chinese citizen must perform household registration in accordance with the provisions of this ordinance. It, contrary to what the government asserts, it is not optional to register children. It is mandatory. Every Chinese citizen must be registered in the household registration system.
All right, so if the two children are registered, what follows?
In order for them to be registered, she must first be sterilized. For the household, the parent, what we are arguing and the evidence that was presented, most importantly through the village committee letters, is that she must be sterilized in order to be in compliance with the various laws in China, including the household registration law, which requires registration of every citizen.
So you're required to be registered. She's required to register the children. The only way she can register the children is to be sterilized and pay
that
the fine.
Correct.
And pay the fine.
That is correct. And my final point with respect to whether or not there has been some effort or some showing of an attempt to authenticate, again, this leaps over the question of whether or not authenticating is a requirement, and in order for authenticating to be a requirement, there must first be a determination that these are official records. And that determination, that analysis was not done by the immigration judge and therefore not briefed to the board. The board made the finding in the first instance without affording the parties the opportunity to brief the issue, and that issue remains live and should be remanded to the board for the benefit of briefing by both parties before that issue is resolved.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bardavid, but don't go away, because I want to ask Mr. O'Connell a question. So do you have any comment on what Mr. Bardavid just said about the registration requirement?
According to the State Department report, Your Honor, in the record, there is no requirement that U.S. citizen children be registered in the household registry. That's what the State Department report in the record says, the most reliable evidence of record.
Is this discussed by the board?
You know, I don't recall if it is or not.
By the immigration judge?
Actually, Your Honor.
Not discussed.
I don't believe so.
What does the State Department have to say about it?
The State Department says that there is no requirement that U.S. citizen children be registered in the household registry. That's what the 2007 State Department report says.
Well, what was the Article 2 that Mr. Bardavid was mentioning?
That applies to Chinese citizens. We're talking about U.S. citizens in this case.
Well, wait, they're Chinese citizens too.
They're not deemed Chinese citizens. If they are not registered in the household registry, they're not considered Chinese citizens. That's what the State Department report says.
I understand. These kids are going to go back to China, and they're not going to be Chinese citizens?
Correct. They'll be residing there as U.S. citizens, which they are.
How do they become Chinese citizens? What if they want to...
At that point, if they want to become Chinese citizens, I don't know what the process is, but I'm sure... Yeah, I really can't answer that question. I don't know what their process is for becoming Chinese citizens.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. O'Connell. So, Mr. Bonavent, so what Mr. O'Connell says is that this registration requirement you mentioned is only applicable to Chinese citizen children.
Do you know whether that's correct or not? That is correct, except as we argued before the board, although the board didn't address this issue, I think it is an unresolved issue. We argue that, in fact, under Chinese law, they are deemed Chinese citizens. A person can't simply say, well, I'm a U.S. citizen. If they were born to Chinese citizen parents under Chinese citizenship law, they are deemed Chinese citizens.
So I'm still not understanding how Article 2 applies. So you're saying Article 2 does apply to the kids, even though they're U.S. citizens. But, of course, there wasn't any briefing on this issue, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. But it's our position that the Chinese government views them as Chinese citizens, so Article 2 would remain applicable to them.
Did you argue that to the board?
Yes, we did, but it was not addressed.
The board didn't meant didn't. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Bartovit, and thank you, Mr. O'Connell. So
thank
we'll
you.
Take the case under advisement.